everyone, and welcome again to another fantastic episode of Pivot by Faith. And just like usual, I am not letting you down when it comes to the phenomenal guests that have been coming on this podcast. It is such a blessing to welcome Ms. Deb Curtis. And Deb is with us today. She is the founder and she's also the business acquisition loan consultant for her own woman-owned company. So I just want to welcome today Ms. Deb Curtis. Welcome, Deb.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Dr. Denise. My heart is warm. That was a sweet welcome.
Look, it doesn't do you any justice for all that you have done in your career and all of the wealth of information that you're going to share with us. I am particularly excited because Deb is talking about a topic not only near and dear to my heart, but many of the people who listen to this podcast are entrepreneurs. And just to hear someone who has seen it, done it, or has helped someone get there and is there herself is such an exciting opportunity for all of us. And so I don't want to take up the time running my mouth while we can be listening to your story. So to start off, Deb, if you would share with us who you are and what you do.
Oh, yes, I will. And thank you. My life story, I'll make it short and simple. When I was born and raised in Milwaukee, and my parents decided to move out to a rural town about 35 minutes south of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And I was a young girl, 3 years old, grew up for about 5 years in a rural town. And then my parents were having struggles, and I was the youngest of three daughters. My mom was involved in the neighborhood that we moved to. Valium was a very big drug of choice in the neighborhood, and alcohol. And a lot of the women back then, Dr. Denise, they were stay-home moms and they were raising the kids. But along with stay-home moms, they got together with the neighbors in our neighborhood, and a little extracurricular activities were happening. My parents divorced and my dad moved out. I'll never forget the day that he moved out. I grabbed a bag of Frito potato chips and some soda and ran to the 18th hole of a golf course and cried. My dad was leaving me, and he's told me why, that they just weren't going to stay married. And as time progressed that first year without my dad, my mom really got involved into Valium and drugs and drinking. And our home became more of a place for parties and alcohol. And things just weren't good. And over time, it was more of a threat to me. My two oldest sisters were gone, and my mom wanted me not to tell my father about anything that was going on in the home. So long story short there, neighbors found out over time, authorities were called, and I was granted immediate custody with my father. And then I had to go through a two-year battle in court at age 11, for my dad back then to win full custody of me from my mom, because at that time, women were the ones that pretty much won custody if there was a divorce situation. And the only way my dad was going to win is if I stood up in court at 11 years old, raised my right hand, and testified against my own biological mom. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this story, because it's about forgiveness, and I'll get to that. So my mom, for the rest of that time when my dad won custody of me, was absent in my life, just disowned me pretty much. She was so hurt. Now, she was adopted herself and never had family, so we were her only family. So I lived with my dad, worked hard. He always told me, you gotta, you know, whatever you believe in, you can achieve. He always told me that, just work hard. He worked hard. He worked full time during the day, and then he worked a part time job at night. And we lived in a tiny little two bedroom apartment near the high school that I attended. So I got to walk to high school, and my dad didn't have to worry about giving me rides. And I gave it my all in high school. I found myself in a rhythm that I felt loved when I gave it my all the time. Right. So, fast forward to my first marriage, I gave it my all. And my first husband, I found out after we were married, was an alcoholic. And I gave it my all to try to help him turn his life around, and put him through rehab a couple of times. Gave it my all. He tried to kill me a few times, was put in jail. I had to have orders against him, a custody order, because we had a little baby girl. And just, I gave it my all. I was trying to give it my all. And it seemed like everywhere I turned, from being a young girl to a first marriage to school, I gave it my all. I couldn't afford to go to college when I graduated high school. My dad didn't have enough money. And I can remember being in high school, my junior, senior year, waiting in the line for hot lunch tickets for the families that couldn't afford a hot lunch. They put you in a separate line and you had a separate color ticket for hot lunch. Oh, yeah. And I was bullied. I was bullied for that. Mm-hmm. But I gave it my all. Because I was bullied, I wanted everybody to like me. I'm like, come on, I'm not that bad. And I remember my senior year, where are you going to school? What university are you going to? Well, I'm not, because my dad can't afford it. But I thought, you know, I'm going to give it my all through work. So I did. I didn't go to school, couldn't afford it. My first career job was working for a finance company. And Dr. D, I gave it my all again. I worked hard. I was there for 18 years. And my daddy always told me, give it your all and you can achieve your dreams. I gave it my all. I kept trying to climb that corporate ladder, as I'm sure many of your listeners have tried to do. Climb that ladder, especially if you're a woman, only to get bumped down a level or two. So then what do? You switch to another similar employer. I gave it my all. And sometimes some supervisors were ruthless and awful, but I'm like, what am I going to do? I got to, you know, I have to find my way. Mm-hmm. And employer after employer, Dr. D, I finally got into SBA lending. Mm-hmm. And I was attracted to business acquisition financing because it supported small businesses that are established today in their money making. And I loved the fact, because they were small and we're helping the small person. And why do I love that? Because I always was the small person throughout my life, giving it her all. So small business acquisitions was something that meant a lot to me. And over time in this industry, again, I realized it's male dominated. Mm-hmm. Business brokers that sell businesses, the majority of them are men. And small business owners are men. We've got work to do with women and the minority population to educate and rise them up to be a small business owner. So finally, I said, all right, I'm done with corporate. I keep climbing that ladder. I keep banging my head. I keep falling down because it's out of my control. And it's been on my mind my whole career. I need to support women in the minority population more so than the men. I love you guys. You know, I do, but I've got to do something for the ones that have given it their all and help them rise above and participate so it's fair and equal across our country. And that's what I do today. There's my story.
Oh, wow. Deb, you said so much there. And what you just said, the last part of what you just said about reaching out to those, your journey, you have overcome so much. Even as a child, you know, for a lot of people may not understand or realize that a lot of times children often take the blame. They blame themselves for the conditions in their household sometimes. And it sounds like it, particularly when there's divorce, unfortunately, sometimes kids will blame themselves and say it's their fault. You had the added responsibility of being involved in a legal situation where you were having to make statements and say things that impacted your future. Mm-hmm. And that tremendous responsibility right there was so much. You overcame all of those situations, the marriage that you were in, the abuse that you have endured, all of the things that you have gone through, and we know have taken a toll on you in some way, shape, or form, but you have overcome all of that, only to say now that you want to give back to those who have also endured trials and different things. So mm-hmm. you have to share with us, there is a reason for this. I know that there is a sustainer in your life that has allowed you to be able to overcome that. Share with us your faith journey.
Mm. Boy, I got a few tears. So thank you. It's almost like a therapy talking to you. It is. Oh, it's kind of wild when you go back and talk about your story, but I really think, I shouldn't say I think, I know our past hurts are what bring us to who we are today.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. my faith right. journey, let me answer that for you. Yeah. It started out with my mama. When I was a little girl, she was a very, very strong Catholic, very, very strong Catholic, strict. This is before she got into drugs, but I remember as a little girl, we would go to church probably, it seemed like 45 minutes before Mass even started. And good Lord, we better get that front row. And if we don't, it's going to be an ugly Sunday. And that's the truth. She just wanted, she had a lot of hurt herself because she was adopted. So Catholic to me growing up was hard to understand. All I remember, and I'm not, you know, everybody has who they believe in and who their power is. Mine is God. And I just remember as a little girl, our priest, he would just, you know, hum and sing, and I couldn't understand a word he was saying. And it was really hard as a little girl to sit in the front row and just, I remember smelling when they did the incense and they would shake them, and nothing really meant anything to me because I was too little to understand. So that really wasn't the start of faith, but I knew there was a higher power and I knew there was a God. So I have to thank my mom for starting that journey. And then it was just kind of broken there for a while through all my hardships, you know, with my dad, and then with my first marriage. I prayed and I had faith and I knew there was a God, but I didn't really know if God was going to answer prayers because I didn't see them answered yet. And one of my prayers was, when I was younger, that I wanted to have a normal family when I got older. And remind me to tell you who my family is today, because that's answered prayers. But mm-hmm. I wanted a family because mine was broken. But I was trying to listen to God. And that first marriage I had, Dr. D, with the alcoholic husband, mm-hmm. I didn't know he was an alcoholic till after we were married. But anyhow, I remember sitting on my bed, because he used to hit me hard and abuse and tear phones out of the walls. And I remember looking out the window, because I always thought once you're married, you got to stay married forever. That's a God thing. No matter how bad it gets, you have to stay married. And I had asked some Christian counselors and they said, not if you're being abused. No, not if you're being hurt and abused. So I remember saying, you know, God, if you're really there, help me get out of this situation. And he did, and he did. I won't get into the details, but after three attempts of leaving, because women always leave, and then we come back, because it's that people pleasing thing again. You know, we want to do good, we want to help others. We leave and we come back. Third time I left and I didn't come back. My dad and my big old Uncle Joe. My dad passed, but my big old Uncle Joe is still alive today. He's the reason why I got out of that marriage. Just think of big old Uncle Joe, and that's enough to tell you what he looks like. So anyways, that prayer was answered for me. And then when I went through that divorce, Dr. D, I remember my dad told me, don't you get involved with any other men again, because just take your time. You're going to, otherwise you'll go back to the same habits, the same kind of lifestyle, right? You hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, I found a man that I happened to be working with at the company that of 18 years, remember I've worked there for 18 years. He was in a bad marriage prior to me and got divorced. I said I would never, ever date anybody at a company that I work for. Well, once he found out I was divorced, he asked me out a couple times for dinner and I kept turning him down. And then finally he asked me out one more time. I said yes. And I remember again looking out a window talking to God. And I said, if this is the man that you want me to marry, you have to let me know. And my husband today is the same man from those days who is a very strong Christian, a man of faith.
Yeah.
And when we met and talked, he said the only way he would consider marrying me is if I was a woman of faith. And I told him my stories like I'm telling you, and we've been together ever since. It was a blessing. So God does answer prayers.
He does. He does. The key is listening to his answer and abiding by what he says. Sometimes if we don't like the answer, we just keep on doing what we want to do. But when you truly listen and you hear the answer, and it will be obvious, he will show you in a way that you will understand. Obviously you did, you know.
Oh,
so
yes. Yeah. And I remember this was pretty quick after my divorce, Dr. D, and my dad thought, oh my goodness, what are you doing? And I remember like 5-10 years later into our marriage, he's like, you made the right decision, didn't you? I'm like, well, God help me with that decision.
See, that's true healing, that you are, you allowed yourself to love again. That's true healing.
Boy, and that's so profound. What you just said there, it took me a while to learn in those first few years with him what it was like to be loved. It really did. Yeah. But so I want to add to what I said earlier, hold that thought about praying for a normal family.
Yeah.
And I love sharing this testimony because as God's people, we share our stories of testimony. And I share the story all the time because of that past and the broken family life that I had. I could have been the daughter out of the three that didn't break the chains because I have siblings and they're kind of in bad situations because of our childhood life. I wanted to break the chains and have a normal family. It didn't come right away, but it's here today. I have three beautiful daughters and four beautiful grandchildren. I call them my COVID babies. They were born in 2020 and 22, and both of those daughters who married their high school sweethearts are expecting again in November. So God answers prayers and he'll multiply them. Yeah. I even have six grandchildren.
Yeah.
What? Thank you, Lord, but I'm going to be working for the rest of my life, Dr. D.
But you know what? You love what you do. So it probably doesn't even feel like work.
Thank you. You know, that's right. You know, that's right.
I tell you, Deb, your story is so powerful. The fact that you shared all of those things, so many messages, so many sermons that you just preached in your testimony. But one of the things that I heard you say, you talked about how God answered your prayers and he has shown you so much in terms of you not looking like what you've been through. You know, we hear the comment, I don't look like what I've been through. You don't look like what you've been through. To look at you, to see your success, people would not guess of what you've been through or what you had to go through to get to where you are. Mm-hmm. So share with us now, based on your experiences as an entrepreneur, what lessons have you learned, quote unquote, the hard way? And in my opinion, it often is the best way because we learn through experience.
Yeah.
So are there some experiences that you could share with us as an entrepreneur that really resonated with you and helped shape you to become the strong woman that you are today?
I love that. Oh boy. Well, behind me is my mantra, God, grit, and grace.
I saw that.
That is what I live by. a lot of grit through my life, a lot of grace. Mm-hmm. But one thing that was constant was God. Now, there were days that I didn't think so, and I just wanted to give up, especially through some terrible employment situations with supervisors and such. But I kept believing there's God, you know? So what would I tell your audience? And I'm humbled to even say this, but I believe where I am today is because I can help all of the women out there, or even the men that are that old version, or I shouldn't say old, that former version of me trying to climb the ladder of success. And I was climbing that ladder, everyone, when life was awful, but I was still performing at a top level. Because my dad told me, you have to work hard and you have to believe it and you can achieve it, no matter how hard it was at home. So my message would be, if you want to get out of what you're in, take action now. Don't wait. I waited too long, but there's a reason, because not today, I'm here to help you be a small business owner, because you can do it. If you can manage people and love people and care for them, you don't have to people please in corporate America to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. You just got to please God and serve people, and He will take you places. That's my message. And it's what I'm going to do the rest of my life.
You know what, Deb, the people pleasing part, that definitely resonates with me. I was I say bad people pleaser, but I was very good at it. Yeah. I was bad at practicing that. And it wasn't until, say, the last 5 or 6 years, I mean, very recent, that I have realized the value of being a God pleaser over being a people pleaser. And you find out when you have overcome this people pleasing, when the people that you thought were in your corner no longer really seem to be able to communicate with you in regard, or they seem to not really like you that much.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing what they want you to do.
I have to share something with you, because when you mentioned we should be God pleasing, not people pleasing, mm-hmm. I journaled this morning, because I read scripture and devotion, and I journal. And that was a thought in my mind, Dr. D, was I need to focus on pleasing God, not pleasing people. And here we are today, and you just echoed what I was journaling this morning and thinking, or God was telling me that. But isn't that wild?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's alignment. It's so hard to, you know, how people always say, you know, bridle your tongue, you know, be careful what you think, and put yourself in the position. What would Jesus do, you know, in order to guide our actions? And I heard, I believe it was the late Charles Stanley, who made the comment about, before we say or do something, think about, is it pleasing to God, or is it something that would benefit someone? Is what you're saying or doing benefit? Is it benefiting the kingdom? Is it benefiting someone? Yeah. Before we take, and if the answer is no, then we have to question, why are we even doing it or saying it?
Right on. You know?
And, and it's so powerful. It's hard to do, but yet, if we get into the practice of it, it becomes easy. Like your journaling. I admire you for journaling. I wish I can't say I wish I could do it, because if I put my mind to it, I'm sure I can. I just have to make it a priority. And now that you have spoken it, maybe I can motivate myself to doing that.
It's newer for me. You know, first was the habit of, we always pray and read and take time. I feel like when I write, something about writing versus typing. Writing, because for one, my muscles aren't as good as they used to be with a pen, but taking the time to write it, it just means you're owning it. I feel that. I think we lack that today with technology. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to our days of cursive writing?
Yeah. I still do it sometimes.
Yeah. But yeah. Journaling is helping me because I'm taking ownership to what I'm writing, and then I can go back and read what I read. Yeah. And that's why I remembered I wrote it today. And then when you brought it up, I'm like, well, now that's a God thing.
Yeah. And writing is so much more impactful. For me, it makes me remember more deeply what I have written as opposed to something I've typed or did the voice text thing. I remember it so much better when I write it. So
right.
It really is impactful. So Deb, you've shared so much about how your testimony has shaped who you are, how your faith has impacted your journey. Your mission, I believe you mentioned about helping women and minorities or minority women or yes. in general, helping women mm-hmm. with their businesses. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things do you see as obstacles or potential pitfalls when it comes to women-owned businesses in particular?
I'd say a pitfall, first and foremost, would be women don't think that they can, and they absolutely can. They're fearful.
And the confidence.
And I would say just start nosing around and believing, like my daddy taught me, just keep doing and keep believing and keep nosing around and asking questions, because nobody is going to teach you how to do this. To purchase, finance, and establish business, or to help grow your current business. Nobody teaches you anything. You have to go out and find the teachings and make sure it's credible and ask. Pitfall would be education. I don't feel we're doing as a country a good enough job at really getting out there and educating. We hear about first-time home buyers. Workshops, right? All the time. We need to have more first-time business buyer workshops. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
And I would love it if our SBA or our government really would roll out more benefits, educating and maybe classes, and maybe there's some kind of benefit to the loan to learn and then apply. You know, I would like to see more of that. I would like to add that every state, every county, every township, if you query up or on Google, small business loan grants, I did this for my son-in-law. My daughter and son-in-law own a business, and it's majority female owned, so there's some benefits there. So they queried up in their county online per my directions, and found out that there were small business grants to give working capital to women-owned business owners to support them and grow the county. And this grant in particular was in a town in the county to help grow the downtown area, because a lot of little rural areas, the downtowns are hurting. And so for economic development, they'll offer grants to minority small business owners. So they were able to capture a $75,000 grant. And what that grant means for your audience to understand is when you take it out, there might be some levels that you have to pass within a certain time frame. For instance, you know, if we give you the $75,000, you're going to keep your business open and you'll generate 3 full-time jobs downtown. And if you prove that in like a certain time period, then that loan is forgiven. So things like that. You just, nobody is going to tell you about this. You have to nose around. And the best place to start is Googling up small business grants in your state, in your county, in, you know, the town name. Some names will pop up. I told him just start calling the names of the people and they'll direct you where to go. And sure enough, he found $75,000.
Wow. So just asking the questions and being bold and bold and assertive to just conduct your own research.
Exactly.
Okay.
You have to overcome your own pitfalls, because pitfalls will happen, just like in corporate America. Mm-hmm. Always have a plan B. Have that plan B and take action on it. Don't just wait around for someone else to fix your pitfall, because they're not going to fix it for you. You got to fix it yourself.
Wow. Yeah. And that is empowering right there, because there's a lot of people who are going to possibly be considering leaving full-time jobs mm-hmm. to go into their own business. So it would be very advantageous to them to do this while they're in a situation where they have a steady income first. Right. And then maybe I've heard someone say they could do it part time or just be in the research phase. I know that's what I did with my business. I worked full time in the public school system. And during my lunch break, I was on the phone in the parking lot in my car.
There you go.
Making calls and being on my phone, on the internet, looking for information, and working on weekends and late at night, and got my licenses approved and did all of that stuff while I was full time. And so I hear what you're saying about being proactive with doing your own research, but it wasn't something that someone told me, mm-hmm. So it's good to hear you telling us that these are things that we need to do in order to ensure our own success.
That's right. And I would add to that, in regards to purchase financing an established business, a lot of people think that they have to quit their current full-time employment. Yeah. There are plenty of people that are happy in corporate, and there are great companies out there and great supervisors. So just think of business acquisition, acquiring a business like puzzles. There's pieces in a box. And if you're going to buy a business and the current owner that's selling is what we call absentee, he trained up all his employees over the years to pretty much just run the small business, and he's absentee. He just oversees it maybe a few hours a week. Maybe there's a general manager working there that just reports to him, everything's going fine. Well, that buyer could keep their corporate employment and own that business. So the SBA doesn't say you have to quit your job. Now, if it's a business you're buying and the owner is there maybe running a machine, it's a manufacturing business, you may need to do that then. And so therefore, you may have to quit your current manufacturing job to purchase finance that business. Right. So it's all about putting the puzzle pieces together between who is the buyer and who is the business and how do they fit together. And of course, startup businesses is always an option. It takes a lot of, guts and glory those first few years. I don't finance startups. That's not what I focus on. I focus on helping people buy the businesses that are already operating with employees and have loyal customers. And there's an owner salary to transfer to the new buyer. And that makes it a little easier on that particular business buyer. But I have to say, kudos to all the startup small business owners. If you ever watch Shark Tank, we see a lot of them. They had a dream. They had an idea. They started it up. They bootstrapped it with their life savings. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah. And you gave a whole new perspective, or not necessarily new. It may be new to many of us, but instead of thinking of being an entrepreneur as owning your own business in terms of starting it up, you're talking about purchasing a pre-existing business and becoming an entrepreneur in that way, where you've got the whole business set up, the whole business model right there.
That's right. Oh, and, wow. And this is popular today because there are on average 11,000 baby boomers retiring a day. We're all living longer. Yeah. We call it the silver tsunami because all the gray hair, except we get to color ours.
That's right.
But it is an option that, there are plenty of baby boomed small businesses that do well, and they're retiring and they're selling their businesses. Or even in your local communities, they may not be for sale, but you may know that business owner and go have a cup of coffee and see if they're thinking of selling one day, and you may be the candidate if you're a regular customer.
Wow. That is a lot of food for thought, because that really, that has resonated with me as well. And I know that it resonates with a lot of the listeners and viewers as well, because these kinds of thoughts, sometimes we get into our own boxes and we think there's only one way that something can be done. But by hearing from people such as yourself with the expertise, the knowledge, the experience of having done these things, and you consult on a daily basis with entrepreneurs who are doing this, we can learn so much from what you are sharing. So thank you very much for that. And on that same note, before we forget, we want to make sure that everyone knows how to learn more about you. So Deb, if you don't mind, would you share information about yourself? If you've got a book coming or a project going, please share that at this time so that those of us who want to know more about business acquisition and entrepreneurship can learn more.
Oh, thank you, Dr. D. Best place to find me is my website, which is my first and last name, as simple as it gets, debcurtis.com, debcurtis.com. Social media, obviously, my favorite platform to educate daily. If you're on LinkedIn, you can find me there, Deb Jojo Curtis, but you can just find me under Deb Curtis as well. My middle name is Joe and my nickname is Jojo. My grandkids call me Jojo. But I'll tell you, I pray about it all the time. A book is on my mind, a community of helping entrepreneurs get to the funding point and the transition. I'm going to put together a community to teach and just serve and love like he loves us.
Excellent. And Deb, you mentioned LinkedIn. I think that you also host some webinars and different things as well. Yeah. Because I missed the one. I saw one recently and I saw the notification too late. And I said, okay, I got to put an alert on here because I want to see that. So I'm sorry I missed that, but I did see that you had some webinars and some other informational kinds of things going on LinkedIn. So that's phenomenal.
Thank you. I love to educate. So you'll find me doing a lot of free educating right there on LinkedIn. We must educate. That we help each other by rising together. So
that is excellent. And Deb, do you have anything that you'd like to leave as a motivation or encouragement or advice for entrepreneurs listening to this, whether they're in a tough situation, maybe it's a situation where they don't see an answer right now, or maybe they're just afraid to take that first step into the career of their dreams? What would you say to those individuals?
Oh my. Believe in yourself, because our Father God believes in you, and you got to have God, grit, and grace. That's what I live by. And of course, one of my favorites, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We know that one.
Philippians 4:13. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. We remember that, and reach out would be my closing comment here. Reach out to me if you want to talk, even if it's not about business. If you just reach out, I think talking helps. And this wonderful podcast certainly helped me, Dr. D. You made my day. I'm so grateful and blessed.
Oh, glory to God. You made mine. Your whole presence, you can see God's presence in your life, and just, you can hear him through your voice. Mm-hmm. So I know that he lives within you, and we have truly been blessed today by hearing your testimony of faith and hearing the wisdom of your experiences with other entrepreneurs. Many of us don't have a circle of entrepreneurs that we can connect with regularly to even just be encouraged, not to mention learn about the professions and the career fields that we're in. So This time with you has been valuable because we all have learned something. So thank you for spending time with us and taking the pivot with us today on Pivot by Faith.
Beautiful. Thank you.
you for tuning in to the Pivot by Faith podcast. Please know how much your prayers and support for this podcast are appreciated. If you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to leave a review and let me know what you enjoyed and what touched your spirit today. Be sure to visit my website at denisenixon.com to learn more about the podcast guests and to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and special video clips that you'll find when you subscribe to the Pivot by Faith YouTube channel. And to all of my fellow entrepreneurs out there, remember, you've got this because God has got you. Peace, grace, and blessings to all. Keep praising God Almighty in the name of Jesus. And let's connect again with the next episode of Pivot by Faith. Take care.